The first scripture reading is from John 4, 16 to 21. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because it is He, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God, whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to be, as we finish out the series on the lives of some of the apostles, we're looking at John. John, the beloved disciple, brother of James, fisherman, and also apostle of love. Here is another time. That was from sort of a later John. This is from an earlier time in the life of the apostle John, from Mark 9. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he, Jesus, was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. And we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, as we wrap up this series on John, John's a very interesting person. And it's good to look forward and back. Have you ever engaged in a little then and now conversation with someone? You know, you might have seen someone you haven't seen in a long while, and you think back and you say to yourself, "I remember when, you know, she was first married, when he graduated, when they just moved here." And the older you get, the more you can look back and see the changes in younger people and yourself. I had just such an experience not too long ago when I went back to a church, a really large church that I had served as an associate for families and youth. And I ran into a young man I hadn't seen in 4.5 years. It was one of my former youth group kids. And he had just graduated from college. And here he was giving up part of that weekend to serve others. We engaged in a little bit of then and now. Then he was a high school junior and unsure what to do with his life. Now he had graduated college and was going to be appointed as an officer in the Navy. Then he wanted to go on the mission trip to get out of town and have a little bit of fun. Faith was not a major issue at that point. And now he says that the mission trip we took to Tennessee changed his life and motivated him to continue his journey of faith. Then he was standing at a fork in the road, and I was unsure whether he was going to take the road of life or the path to destruction. And now he's an example to younger people, an inspiration to his contemporaries, and a sign of hope to older people. Today we are going to look at the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, the dear friend of Jesus. And we are going to engage in a little bit of then and now. And hopefully catch a glimpse of what can happen when you commit everything you are, everything you've got, to Jesus Christ. In the last part of the first century, we find John at Ephesus. At that time, he was the last of the original disciples, that close group. There were lots of disciples, but that really close group still living. He was so old and fragile that the young men had to carry him up to the pulpit for him to speak. St. Jerome, several centuries later, wrote that on such occasions, the time would come for John to speak, and everyone was silent, waiting for the great man to utter his words of wisdom. And John, with the aid of his bearer, would stand up and say, "Little children, love one another, love one another, love one another," and sit back down. And that would be it. Now, if you were someone old enough to remember John in the younger days, probably you could only marvel at this older, calmer, and wiser John. Because John and his brother James were nicknamed by Jesus the sons of thunder due to their volatile nature. We need to remember that this gentle John we see in the late first century was the same one who wanted to call down lightning from the sky on a Samaritan village because they refused hospitality to Jesus because Jesus was going on to the rival city of Jerusalem. Listen to this from Luke 9. But the people there would not receive Jesus. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them. "Well, that's the way to handle things, John. If people don't agree with you, blast them." Haven't you been tempted to do the same thing? I mean, admit it. I have. I've sat in meetings watching people debate a plan of action. I know it's a good plan, a solid plan. It'll work. But I know it's never going to come to pass. This person dithers due to confusion. They are not really interested enough to be paying attention. Another objects to this or that due to a desire to control and show how powerful they are. A few realize it's the right thing to do, but they're too timid to speak up. Of course, afterwards, they'll bemoan the fact that the good plan was never put in practice. "Lord, do you want me to call down fire from heaven?" Seems like a good idea sometimes. But then Jesus turns around and says to us, "Cool it, hothead." Looking at John's life up to that point, it's hard to predict that he will be known as the apostle of love and the one who wrote the words, "God is love." But in his younger years, John is not only impatient, he is intolerant. A man was healing others in Jesus' name, but he was not one of the 12 of the inner circle. And John reported it to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he doesn't belong to our group." That's it, John. If someone is not of your church or denomination, stop him, even if he's doing exactly what Jesus said disciples should do. Yes, if someone is of another Christian denomination, deny them communion. Make sure the good news is presented just the way you like it, in your language, with your music, and make sure it's in the type of setting that makes you comfortable. Who cares if that language, that music, a setting is so different that it can only be found in churches of your denomination? I mean, going out and reaching out to others to share the gospel and words and acts of love is secondary to how it's presented, right? I'm happy to say this church does not have that problem. You know, we're very flexible. But sometimes I fear there are places where the Great Commission is interpreted like this. Go therefore, whenever it's convenient, into other Christian churches and denomination, trading members, but sometimes when it seems absolutely necessary to find people to help pay the bills and do the work, to other people who seem deserving. and make them disciples just like you. Despite any cultural or age differences, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them using only English, organ music, and the same educational material and style of worship that hasn't been inspiring our children to stay in church for generations. Yep, there are some churches like that. John would have loved that when he was spiritually as well as chronologically younger. My way or the highway? If it was good enough for Grandpa, it's good enough for me. But it's something we should expect from a young man who has not grown into the full stature of Jesus Christ yet. It's something we could expect from someone who wanted to sit at the right hand of Jesus. John, the future apostle of love at this point in his life, is not thinking about others. He's a little self-centered at this time. Yet Jesus, who went into all places, Samaria, it didn't matter, Gentiles' homes, who went everywhere, intervenes again. He tells John to cool it. And he utters that famous phrase, "Whoever is not against us is for us." You see, there is a breadth in Jesus' words that seeks to let people in rather than shut them out. Jesus searches for new ways to communicate and in fresh ways for the sake of those who do not know about God. He approaches the outcast, the despised, the morally guilty before they are perfect. In fact, he gives everything, even his life, and accepts great suffering, even death on a cross, to bring people into relationship with God. John's vision is, at this time, a little narrow. Now, John meant well. He wanted purity in the church. He demanded that Jesus be recognized as the Son of God. It's just that he was the youngest of the 12, maybe in his teens, and the son of a fisherman, like Peter and Andrew, and he had not traveled very far from home. He had not really grown up yet. So how did John go from son of thunder to apostle of love? Well, John's story continues. He is the one into which Jesus gives his mother for caring in her later years. He races with Peter to see the empty tomb. He meets Jesus at the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection, where Peter is forgiven and restored by Jesus. In the book of Acts, he is a leading character. He was there when Peter heals the paralyzed man and is then brought before the council. He, along with Peter, is arrested and jailed repeatedly for preaching. He went with Peter to pick up Philip's work in Samaria. Remember those Samaritans we didn't like? At some point, John went to Ephesus. There he became a revered figure as the last surviving member of the original 12 disciples. When he was carried in his old age to preach at the church at Ephesus, St. Jerome records the leaders of the church complained to John that his message to love one another was just too simple. "Master," they said, "why do you always say this?" To which the aged apostle answered, "It is the Lord's command, and if this alone be done, it is enough." Quite a leap from the brash young disciple who said somewhat hopefully, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven?" Yeah, big, big jump. One of the reasons for this transformation could be his extreme youth. You know, the more malleable the clay, the more the potter can do with it. John was just at the green apple stage in life, and he had time to mature. However, I think the most important factor is found in John's nickname, the beloved disciple. You see, if we experience deeply Jesus' love, we learn how to love. If we first try to love in sort of a grand, indiscriminate, theoretical way, I don't know if we'll make it. It takes the love of God to transform us so that we are capable of loving others. Even people who seem unlovable or undeserving. Please notice that this did not happen overnight to John. John grew into the love that made him beautiful. His salvation came in a grand moment of God's decision, what theological types call justification. But his transformation, his sanctification, came from a long period of living with the love of God in Jesus Christ. There is in all of us from time to time a desire to blast others or push them aside, especially if they are different or if they approach things differently than we do. But we can look with awe upon the Apostle John, a son of thunder who became the apostle of love. And we can pray this: Lord, don't give up on me. Wake me up to the love you have shown me, and may it so transform me that I may become more like the older John, the apostle of love, and so more like you. Amen.